fellow Patriots, today we're going to have some more news here on a pivotal piece of legislation that stands at the forefront of the fight to protect the Second Amendment. And it's not going to be the ones we've been talking about for the last 2 weeks. Now, this one is H.R. 38, the Constitutional Concealed Carry Reciprocity Act. I've been asked a lot of times what's going on with reciprocity. Well, this might be the news you're waiting for. Imagine this. You're a law-abiding citizen. You've passed your background check. You've completed your training because some states require that. And you have a concealed carry permit. You drive across a state line and suddenly you're treated like a criminal. That's the reality for millions of gun owners. But H.R. 38 could finally change that. For far too long, law-abiding Americans have navigated a confusing patchwork of state laws when exercising their right to carry concealed firearms. And H.R. 38 is the fix that's being eyed right now in the House. Introduced by Representative Richard Hudson, H.R. 38 seeks to ensure that if you are lawfully carrying a concealed firearm in your home state, you can do so across all states that also have concealed carry for their residents. While it's not pure constitutional carry, and it's not a perfect bill, which I think we need is pure constitutional carry, this is a step in the right direction versus what happens right now. This bill reinforces the principle that our constitutional rights don't end at state lines. Just as your driver's license is recognized nationwide, so too should your concealed carry permit be. Well, 24 Republican attorneys general just sent a letter to Speaker of the House, Representative Mike Johnson, and House Minority Leader, Representative Hakeem Jeffries, calling for a floor vote and a passage of H.R. 38. Maybe they're trying to jump on this Second Amendment push that's been rekindled here during the bill for, you know, the tax stuff, the big beautiful bill. And before I show you the letter that they sent, I want to give a huge thank you to our sponsor, Blackout Coffee, the unapologetically patriotic coffee brand fueling freedom-loving Americans nationwide. Whether you're pulling duty or heading to the range or just need to wake up and stay alert in these crazy times, Blackout Coffee has your back. You can save big right now, this weekend only, by jumping in on our Memorial Day sale. Now, through Memorial Day, take 20% off site-wide or 25% off orders of $100 or more. Plus, you'll get free shipping on those as well. Use code BRAVE3 at checkout over at blackoutcoffee.com/GNG. This is a very short sale. Take advantage of it site-wide. A lot of good stuff on there. Check out our hats and t-shirts, and we do tea. We do loose leaf tea and hot chocolate. Got a lot of stuff on there. All right, as a refresher, let's break down the four main parts of H.R. 38. Number one, nationwide recognition. Valid concealed carry permits would be recognized across state lines in states where their residents can also have concealed carry. Number two is protection of rights. The bill preempts most state and local laws related to concealed carry, ensuring uniformity and protecting citizens from legal pitfalls when traveling. And for folks who travel a lot, or for folks like me, I live on a border of three states, you know, 20 minutes in the wrong direction could cause you into a jam, and I'll talk about that in a minute. Number three, legal recourse. If a state infringes upon this right, individuals have the authority to seek legal action against such violations. And number four, respect for property rights. Private property rights don't change. Private property owners can still retain their right to restrict firearms on their premises, maintaining that balance between individual rights and property rights. Now, consider the story of Shaheen Allen, a Pennsylvania mother who was arrested in New Jersey for carrying her legally owned firearm. She just had the gall to cross the state line into a different country called New Jersey. H.R. 38 would prevent such injustices by standardizing concealed carry rights. And then there are those two folks in New Hampshire, those two New Hampshire residents, who had the balls to go to a shopping mall that straddles the state border with Massachusetts. Of course, they got jammed up in Massachusetts for carrying the same firearm that was legal right over there in the side of the mall that is in New Hampshire. But since they didn't have the prerequisite governmental permission slip for Massachusetts, they got jammed up. All right, now here's the letter sent by these 24 attorneys general. And this was sent May 21st, again, to Mike Johnson and Hakeem Jeffries. It says, Dear Speaker Johnson and Minority Leader Jeffries, we, the undersigned attorneys general of 24 states, urge Congress to pass H.R. 38, the Constitutional Concealed Carry Reciprocity Act. The perspective we offer comes from our experience as the chief law officers of our states, all of which either recognize the right of law-abiding citizens to carry concealed handguns without a permit, or grant full recognition to concealed carry credentials issued by other states. Simply put, we know firsthand that recognizing a broad right of concealed carry among law-abiding Americans promotes public safety and respects the fundamental liberties of our constituents. It is with these constituents in mind that we urge Congress to pass H.R. 38. News reports and commentary sometimes misconstrue what H.R. 38 does and whom it would benefit. We therefore believe it is helpful to reiterate certain facts about the legislation. First, H.R. 38 is aimed at the law-abiding gun owner. It categorically excludes anyone who is prohibited by federal law from possessing, transporting, shipping, or receiving a firearm. This exclusion encompasses persons convicted of felonies or misdemeanors punishable by more than 2 years in prison. That's the current law. I don't necessarily agree with that if it was a nonviolent issue. Additionally, anyone who has been convicted of a misdemeanor crime of domestic violence is subject to an active domestic violence restraining order, is facing a pending felony indictment, is a fugitive from justice, is present in the country illegally, or is an unlawful user of a controlled substance, is excluded. Finally, persons with serious mental health issues, as established by court commitments or adjudications, are also excluded. Some anti-gun pundits have criticized H.R. 38 as a violation of states' rights, a concept that would have been completely unfamiliar, if not repugnant, to some of the same pundits in any other context. This criticism, however, is unfounded. The legislation does not change any state law, nor prescribe for states how to provide for lawful concealed carry within their borders. States are free under H.R. 38 to establish independent requirements for any concealed carry credential issued by the state and make publicly owned property off limits to carry. They may also, within constitutional limits, establish their own rules of behavior concerning the display, brandishing, discharge, or use of guns in public, as well as the terms of defensive force. H.R. 38 additionally recognizes the right of property owners to establish their own policies for the carrying of guns on private property. Another criticism is that H.R. 38 would prevent police from doing their jobs. This is obviously not true, as permitless carry is now the majority rule in the United States, and police departments in such states continue to protect and serve the public as before. H.R. 38 recognizes the authority of a police officer encountering an individual with a concealed firearm to conduct an appropriate investigative stop, consistent with Terry versus Ohio, to determine the lawfulness of the behavior and whether the person meets the threshold for protection under the act. If the individual does not meet the act's thresholds, state law, including any licensing requirements or possession restrictions, remains fully enforceable. Any criminal conduct occurring in tandem with the firearm possession, example, possession of illegal drugs or traffic offenses, would of course remain subject to the full extent of the law. Finally, critics of H.R. 38 complain that it would force states with strict permitting standards to accommodate carriers from jurisdictions with more lax requirements. What this typically means, however, is that some states, despite the U.S. Supreme Court's rulings to the contrary, make getting a carry license as expensive, burdensome, and bureaucratic as possible, simply to discourage citizens from exercising the right. But failure to acknowledge the right is not the same thing as permitting only the safest people to carry. There is substantial evidence that concealed carry licensees are more law-abiding than the general population, to include police. Yet, there is zero evidence that any state has better standards for screening out dangerous individuals with its licensing regime than any other state, especially considering H.R. 38's own exclusions. New York, for example, used to limit the number of people who carry by forcing applicants for a license to demonstrate an extraordinary need for self-defense. This had nothing to do with choosing the safest applicants, however, and indeed, the may-issue nature of this regime promoted corruption within the New York City's licensing authority, with officials convicted of accepting bribes to issue licenses even to those who would fail the objective requirements of a licensing regime. Similarly, Los Angeles limits the number of people who carry by charging exorbitant fees and making applicants wait a year or more for their licenses to be issued. That has prompted a civil rights investigation by the United States Department of Justice, but it has not resulted in only safer people being issued licenses in Los Angeles. Criminals, in our experience, do not wait for permission to carry guns. H.R. 38 is not for them. It is for honest, law-abiding citizens who deserve to have the means to protect themselves should they have the misfortune of needing to use a firearm in self-defense or the defense of their loved ones. Concealed carry is a constitutional right, and it can have substantial public safety benefits by allowing people the means to respond to emergent threats to themselves or others when police are not immediately available to intervene. Yet our constituents are threatened with arrest, prosecution, and mandatory prison time for technical violations of licensing or possession laws involving conduct that is perfectly legal in all but a handful of states, most of which have well-established history and practice of suppressing the right to keep and bear arms. This is unacceptable, and Congress has the authority and the duty to protect these rights. We therefore urge passage of H.R. 38 and look forward to continuing to welcome law-abiding gun owners from across the country to our own jurisdictions. Respectfully, you got Gentner Drummond of Oklahoma, John McCuskey of West Virginia, Steve Marshall, Alabama, Greg Taylor, Alaska, Tim Griffin, Arkansas, James Uthmeyer from Florida, Christopher Carr from Georgia, Todd Rokita, Indiana, Brenna Bird, Iowa, Chris Kobach from Kansas, Russell Coleman, Kentucky, Liz Merle from Louisiana, Andrew Bailey, my buddy from Missouri, Lynn Fitch, Mississippi, Austin Knutson, another friend of the channel, Montana, Mike Hilgers, Nebraska, John Formella, New Hampshire, Drew Wrigley, North Dakota, Dave Yost from Ohio, Alan Wilson, South Carolina, Marty Jackley, South Dakota, Ken Paxton, Texas, Derek Brown, Utah, Bridget Hill of Wyoming. Support for national reciprocity transcends political lines, and with a majority of Americans advocating for consistent concealed carry laws to protect responsible gun owners. Opponents argue that H.R. 38 undermines state sovereignty. However, this bill doesn't impose concealed carry on states that prohibit it. It is simply ensuring that states respect this right to do so uniformly. Now, remember, states have to have one version, either open or concealed, and Bruin fixed the May issue stuff, mostly. Now, our founders didn't draft the Bill of Rights with asterisks. They didn't say your rights stop at a state border. The Second Amendment is for every American in every state. So let's stand up, let's fight back, and let's pass H.R. 38. The time to act is now. Contact your representatives and urge them to support H.R. 38. Don't forget to like this video, subscribe to the channel, and hit the bell so that you don't miss the next update on this and other Second Amendment news. And once again, a big thank you to today's sponsor, Blackout Coffee. And until next time, stay safe, stay free, and keep fighting for the Second Amendment. Take care, everybody.